Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio, the Patrick and Jeremy Show on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, your nature preserve for free speech animals. And that's what we are. We are free speech animals. And but there is an admission. If you want to visit the free speech animals, you're highly recommended to submit a donation. Go to RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. You'll get the instructions. There's a donate button. Or Jeremy, do you have it memorized?
The donate button on National Bugle?
Well, no, on Republic Broadcasting, like there's an address and there's a phone number.
Oh, yeah. So if you want to donate to Republic Broadcasting Network, you can call it in, 512-248-8252, talk to the producer, and he'll take your credit card. Or you can get out that Boomer checkbook, as I know you all have them, and send it to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664.
Okay. Also with NationalBugle.com, you can go there, you can look at articles, and actually, I have a donate button there, but whatever. What I'd rather you do is go to the CoCertified link, click on it, download the CoCertified app, and lead a non-kosher certified lifestyle. There we go. All right, so we just got done with the live in plain sight from Tuesday night, which features me as your guest. And now we're going back to back, doing a double header, and we're recording this show for Wednesday. And when we left off, you were just talking about an article from the San Antonio Press?
A San Antonio Express News. And it was a response to your comparing the breakup of the Soviet Union to what could be happening in America, or what's possible. And we were talking about state secession and what that looks like, and how, you know, a lot of states probably just won't go along with the lockdown, and that could be a form of it. But Texas, its claim to fame is that it could secede anytime it wants to. But actually, obviously there's a bunch of constitutional lawyers that work at San Antonio Express News, and they're saying that Texas cannot secede from the U.S., and here's why. Are you ready for this one?
I'm ready.
So every few months, the question comes up. If Texas wanted to, could it secede from the United States? Simply put, the answer is no. This is according to the San Antonio Express News. The answer is no. Historical and legal precedents make it clear that Texas could not leave the Union, at least not legally. So the idea is most often raised by conservatives in the state who are angry over some kind of policy coming from the federal government. And the calls seem to become more frequent when a Democrat is occupying the White House. State Representative Kyle Buderman, a Republic from Fredericksburg, filed a bill Tuesday to create a referendum election on whether Texas should create a joint legislative committee to develop a plan for achieving Texas independence. This article was on February 1st, so the Tuesday they're talking about is last Tuesday, I would think. Anyway, he says it's now time that the people of Texas are allowed the right to decide their own future, he said in a statement announcing the legislation. The bill does not appear to have much of a chance, and even if it did, experts say, Texas can't just secede. Quoting Eric McDaniel here, the legality of seceding is problematic. He is an associate professor of government at the University of Texas at Austin. Not a constitutional lawyer, but a professor of government, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He told the Texas Tribune in 2016, the Civil War played a very big role in establishing the power of the federal government and cementing that the federal government has the final say in these issues. I don't know, man. What say you, political science professor, to this professor of government?
I don't know. So this is based on the it's not in the Constitution, because the Constitution doesn't say anything about secession, doesn't say that secession is prohibited, and it doesn't provide a mechanism for secession. It does provide a mechanism for adding new states. And so you had this joint resolution for annexing Texas to the United States. I've never read it. So I didn't know that it was widely thought that it granted Texas the right to secede until relatively recently, that, you know, that people think that it does. And I've never read it, so I couldn't say.
Well, let me just provide a working class commentary and a question without delving too deep into it, because I have not read these things either. But just a common sense question would be, well, what about California? They're always talking about the same thing, because the federal government's not liberal enough for them. And so, you have sanctuary states and sanctuary cities. I mean, is this not a form of secession? They're flipping the bird to the federal government, right? So that's actually praised and looked upon as, wokeness and fighting for the little man when you have sanctuary states by the liberals, right? The system praises that. But when Texas talks about doing it for conservative reasons, oh, you can't do that. Remember the Civil War? That's what I'm getting from it.
So you've got two different things we're talking about. Things. One is secession, and the other is really an issue of sovereignty. So sovereignty refers to the supreme authority, and people might talk about shared sovereignty, but some schools of political science say, well, no, you can't split sovereignty, because sovereignty is the supreme authority. So something has to be supreme. Is it going to be the federal government? Is it going to be the state government, which is supreme? And if in terms of for all practical purposes, the federal government has been supreme, and the Civil War was it enforcing its supremacy on the states. You could look at it like that. So as a practical matter, the federal government's been supreme. Now, in South Carolina, in the nullification crisis, wasn't seceding from the U.S. government, but and this is, of course, before the Civil War, it was saying, our sovereignty rests here. We are sovereign, and we can be part of the United States as some sort of, you know, confederation. But when push comes to shove, our laws are supreme. And, you know, if you look around the world, the EU is kind of in this transitional phase. But as Brexit shows, And as it certainly was during the 20th century, sovereignty rested in the countries, Britain or France or Belgium or Luxembourg or whatever. They were sovereign, but they freely associated within the EU. Now the EU is probably, it may well be moving towards where the EU is supreme over the member states. But the question becomes, when the EU, if to the extent the EU makes a decision on currency, it makes a decision on immigration or something like that, is that based on its own authority, or is that based on the member countries having granted the EU permission to do such and such, and it's a permission that they can rescind at any time? And so this is getting very long-winded, I'm sorry. But for what we're looking at right now, you have two things that could happen. One is states not saying we're leaving the United States, but saying, hey, sovereignty rests here. We are going to – if we think your law is wrong and it's not something that we agreed on via the Constitution, we're going to nullify it, and we're just going to obey our own law. It's a very separate thing to say we are formally divorcing ourselves from the United States, and we're not going to participate in the federal government at all. You know, we're not going to participate in the United States military. We're not going to participate in the federal income tax or anything. We're our own country. We're independent. So those are the two things. And we've seen, I keep harping back to the breakup of the Soviet Union, but we've seen that. We've seen how that works. So that was long-winded. What's your response?
To your point of sovereignty, where does sovereignty lie? I think it depends on the issue. For example, when certain states and cities wanted to become sanctuary states, let's say California, for example, to sanction illegal immigrants, that was woke. That was something that, the elites that run this country, Jewish-dominated elites, praised. And the federal government didn't, under Trump anyway, didn't crack down on that. Maybe financially in little ways. But then let's look at the issue of forced integration in Arkansas in the late 50s, where, if I understand correctly, the governor had deployed the National Guard to the schools, or to a particular school, mm-hmm. to keep black students from coming in. Then the president nationalized the Guard, and then the students were allowed to force integrate at gunpoint. So there's a good example of it depends on the issue as to who holds sovereignty. You know what I'm saying?
So, and that would assume that sovereignty is can be shared and it's not absolute. Now, you could say, well, all right, if you've got states making decisions about some things in some areas and the federal government making the final decision in other areas, is that because the federal government has granted the states permission to make decisions in those areas, or is it because the states have granted the federal government permission to make decisions in one area? Who's granting whom the permission? If you're looking at sovereignty as being supreme and indivisible, if it's indivisible, then one party or the other has to be granting permission.
Well, and it could also, let's just talk about the where power lies in the military. And in the case of Arkansas, late 50s, what was the year, Patrick? 58, 59, I do believe. It was
under Eisenhower. Yeah, it was in the 50s.
Little Rock High School. It was before the Civil Rights Act was passed, right? And so the National Guard obeyed the governor at first, and then when the president nationalized them, they obeyed him. And this is at a time when I would venture to say the majority of the military would have sided with, non-integration, just continue as was. But yet they obeyed the federal government. So this really would come down to, who will the military obey? And if they're going to obey the government, back then, 60 years ago, what are they going to do now when the military has been really corrupted and you have a lot of LGBTQ types and now trainees can serve and all the generals that are Senate confirmed? I don't see the military ever taking this country back. I don't see that. If they weren't going to push back against the federal government in the late 50s, they're certainly not going to do it now.
Right.
I don't know what say you.
Well, so that's the thing. So who does the military obey? What side do they take? And I do go back to the Soviet Union over and over and over again because there you had a huge, powerful country and it was dismembered, and you had in August 1991, a coup attempt against President Gorbachev by Vice President Yanayev. And Yanayev ordered the military to surround the parliament building, not of the Soviet Union, but of the Russian Republic, which is you know, you could think of the Russian Republic as being like a state, except it was a state that took up half, more than half the population and more than three quarters of the land mass. So it was the mega state. And the Russian parliament, so they surrounded the Russian parliament, where Russian President Yeltsin, who in effect was like a governor, they surrounded him. They were supposed to take him into custody, and he just walked out and got up on a tank and made a speech. And so the military did not obey Yanayev, who was the vice president trying to take over as president. But in the end, they didn't go back to being loyal to Gorbachev. They wound up being loyal to Yeltsin. The country fell apart. But that's the thing. You have, you'll have these political leaders, these political entities, and then when push comes to shove, who does the military side with? Now, the military has never played that kind of role in the United States, but that doesn't mean it couldn't.
Well, the closest thing, I guess, was my example of the Little Rock.
Which is a good example. That is a good example. And what would have happened if the National Guard had just said, the heck with Eisenhower? But they didn't say that. Yeah.
Yeah, if they would have said the heck with Eisenhower, that school would not have been integrated that day.
And what would
they do? Call another military in?
They did. They did call another military in. Actually, like the next day, the 101st Airborne Division came in. So maybe they weren't trusting the National Guard.
I see.
But, we're seeing stuff going on in D.C. now. I had someone send me these pictures of buses going around the Capitol saying, what's going on here? This was a week or so ago. And I said, oh, well, it must be they're providing buses to take the National Guard troops home. But maybe it's that. I mean, are they bringing in more and more military? Because the National Guard troops don't seem to be going home from Washington.
Well, obviously, the Biden administration does not trust those 25 to 26,000 National Guardsmen that were deployed there. They were heavily vetted, and they were treated horribly. I sense the politicians being fearful of the military. So, yeah. Even though the military has been highly compromised, I really see that the not the elites, but the politicians are fearful of the military. So I don't know. Getting back to the original topic, if Texas would secede, I think it would depend upon the National Guard, the Texas National Guard, and who it would side with.
It's amazing. Being a boomer and looking back on the society I grew up in, and of course the Civil War, the North was the good side, and of course Lincoln was right to hold the Union together. And now all of a sudden you're seeing so many people who are saying, well, if California were to leave the Union, that would be a good thing. Or Texans saying, well, why don't we leave the Union? This type of thinking was unthinkable. The thinking was unthinkable not very long ago at all. You don't have to be a boomer to remember a day when people thought that keeping the United States together might be a good thing. But we are, we're up on the break, but I want to get your reaction on the other side.
To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. Every move he makes, another chance he takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man, they've given you a number. Hadn't checked.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
And we are back. So how do you react to the sudden development of so many people not even caring if the United States breaks up?
Well, it's a paradigm shift of the way people think.
It is.
Politically and socially. They've been put through a year of COVID-19 hoax lockdowns, BLM riots, of cities burning and entire sections of cities being taken over, and specifically within Seattle. And I think people are seeing this, and then they see the election hoax, and these 75 million plus Trump voters bought into QAnon, and they were just so sure that Trump had a plan and that the military would come and start arresting people under Trump's orders. And none of that happened. I think that instead of throwing water on the fire, it threw gasoline on it. And now people I hear in my circles are saying, you know what? We don't want unity with these people. We don't want to have anything to do with this new federal government. And I ask again, what about those 18 plus states that sided with Texas to go against the election hoax? Revolution is in the air. It's in people's minds. And a paradigm shift in of thinking this way, that's probably step one. And not calling for any violence whatsoever. I'm just saying that people thinking differently, and that's That's what we've gotten in 4 years after Trump.
That is. Now, I wandered off to look at my bookshelf. I remember when I was in grad school 30 years ago reading a book, and I remember the author was Ian, not Ian, but Ian Lustig. He was a Jew, and I guess he had been Ionized or something, and but it's spelled Ian. And he wrote a book, and I can't remember. I was seeing, maybe I've gotten rid of, oh, there it is. Hold on just 1 second.
Yeah, so, you know, like we were saying in the article states, the myth that Texas can easily secede persists in part because of the state's history of independence. But I would just say that it's being brought up now because of the election hoax. This is why this legislation is being pushed.
Right. So anyway, here's the book. It's Unsettled States, Disputed Lands. I don't think it was that important of a book. But at any rate, Britain and Ireland, France and Algeria, Israel and the West Bank hyphen Gaza. What he was saying is, and I don't know if it was such a great idea, but just because I read this book and I remember it, you have a hegemonic, there's like a, he called a hegemonic idea of what the state is. And in the case of Britain and Ireland, Ireland really was never digested fully by Great Britain, by Britain, as part of its country. It was always seen as kind of an other, and therefore the letting Ireland become independent wasn't an existential crisis for Britain. And, you know, Algeria, the same. But, you know, for instance, if a part of your country is, if letting go of part of the country means that the country can't even exist anymore. And this was written, I guess, right in the, I don't know if it was written before or after the Soviet Union broke up, but basically letting go of Ukraine and, you know, these other republics, letting go of the Soviet Union couldn't be the Soviet Union anymore. It wasn't just that part of the country or a possession of the country was given its independence. The country couldn't exist anymore. And, you know, the same with Yugoslavia losing some of its republics. It couldn't exist anymore as Yugoslavia. And with the United States, people are, like, the idea of the United States was hegemonic. People saw themselves as American, not as Texan, not as Virginian, not as Kentuckian or whatever. But now, it's just amazing to me that in such a short period of time, so many people are fine with the idea of the United States breaking up. It's happened so suddenly.
Yeah, your point's well taken. I mean, people,
it wasn't well made, but it was well taken.
Well, I mean, it is well taken because, look, you know, Kentuckians, you know, we're Kentuckians. There's Tennessee. When Tennessee lifted the lockdown first, where you could eat in restaurants back in May of 2020. So Kentuckians were driving down to Tennessee and going to restaurants and living a normal life. So, yeah, I think people now are not, they're losing this concept of we're Americans first. And now they're talking about their states and municipalities.
Okay, well, I want to ask you something about that on the other side.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Of
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We are back.
And so what I want to ask you, now, maybe where you're from, most of the people that you know were born in Kentucky, lived in Kentucky their whole life. But you go to a lot of places, especially cities. You go to Atlanta, you know, you go to, I don't know, wherever, especially a lot of Sunbelt cities. And these people they weren't born there. You know, you look at the big population shifts in the United States where you have so many people who have left the state they grew up in and have moved to another state. Many people have lived in several states. And so, you know, I wonder for a lot of people how strong their identification is with their state. So that's the question.
Yeah, I see your point. I see your point. Yeah. A lot of the people that I know, like you said, you know, they were born and raised here and they're Kentuckians. People in Tennessee are Tennesseans. They have a lot of pride. But people that have traveled abroad, maybe people in the bigger cities that have these types of jobs that require travel or require them to relocate, they have that sense of Americanism and they've lost their state or you know, hometown identity. True. But what do we see happen last year? A lot of these people, especially people with money, in, let's just say, New York and California, they're moving to states like Florida and Texas because they're sick of the lockdown hoax. And so they're taking on a new identity now. Oh, I'm going to move to Florida where, you know, or to Tennessee where there's not a state tax. There's not an income tax on the state level. And we don't have to do these ridiculous lockdowns and we can get away from the BLM crime and nonsense. So I think that even these people that you're describing are moving to states where they're having more freedom and they're being sheltered from the wokeness, you see? And I think they're developing an identity not with the state necessarily where they were born, but the state where they relocate to that treats them the best.
Mm-hmm.
Say about that.
So here's the second part of the question. So, you know, 30 years ago, you had the breakup of the Soviet Union and Czechoslovakia and Yugoslavia, which Yugoslavia was the tough one. It was the most violent one. And for the most part, but with some exceptions, for the most part, these countries had, instead of states, their constituent parts were called republics. And for the most part, those republic boundaries were respected, and the Soviet Union, Czechoslovakia, and Yugoslavia just dissolved into their republics, and those republics became independent states themselves. Now, in the United States, you know, we've got these 50 states, and you know, a lot of them are just, you know, squares or just lines drawn on the map. Here's the question. What about the states that right now are most dissatisfied, like, you know, Texas and the ones that don't like the lockdowns, don't like the wokeness, don't like the anti-whiteness? A lot of them, I mean, they probably see themselves as being the real Americans. And what if they were to not just secede from the United States, but form a new union or new confederacy, but one based on the founding? And maybe this mirrors the Confederacy, I don't know, of the 1800s, but really one that would claim to be the rightful heirs of, you know, Washington and Jefferson and Madison and whatnot, forming a new, like, you know, a 21 or 27 state union themselves. What about that?
Okay. I can see that. It's going to take a lot of states together, though, to strengthen that. And that's actually addressed in this article, just to bring it back around to what we began with. Let me read the last part of this article. This resolution, talking about Texas, which stipulated that Texas could, in the future, choose to divide itself into new states of convenient size, not exceeding four in number, in addition to the said state of Texas. This is often a cause of confusion about the state's ability to secede, but it says here that the language of the resolution is clear that Texas can split itself into five new states, but it says nothing of splitting apart from the United States. No, that's according to the article, but that's sort of dovetailing with what you're talking about there, is that, you know, if enough states decided to do this, they're forming their own miniature United States of Americas, I guess.
Well,
is that what you're saying?
So I'm not even saying miniature, but I'm saying, let's just say you had, let's just say you had all of the states that sided with Texas in their Supreme Court case regarding the election. So that was 18 states, right? And these were states that had voted for Trump. Most of the states that had voted for Trump. What if they were to secede from the United States and then form a new entity with a constitution very close to the current constitution, with the exact same bill of rights or whatever, and claiming to be, if not the legal, at least the you know, the cultural or heritage heirs, the rightful heirs of the 1776 or the 1787 republic.
I see that. Well, I would say that if anything happens like that in that scenario, that the National Guards of these states would be loyal. That would be the only way it would happen, because we could very well see a replay of the Civil War on a military level.
Well, yeah. And if that something like that happened, you would have Fort Hood, and not just the National Guard, but Fort Hood and Fort Bragg. And, you know, if Georgia was part of it, you know, what's the fort down there? I can't remember. Fort Benning. You'd have, you know, and a lot of Air Force bases, and you'd have pretty much a split in the military of in terms of their real assets, which could be very dangerous, but, you know, it conceivably could be peaceful.
And then something that my friends and family have brought up to me when I talk about these subjects is, if the military does split, as you describe, what do we look like to foreign countries? I can't think of anybody that wants to invade us, though. But, you know, that's a legitimate question. Would the military split? I don't think the United States could worry about being invaded, but it could be a good thing, because with the military split like that, maybe we wouldn't be playing world police and overthrowing countries in the Middle East.
I mean, when did anybody ever try to invade the United States? You know, it's not an easy prospect. I mean,
some people would say Pearl Harbor. That really wasn't an invasion.
That's not an invasion. No, that was an attack.
That was actually welcomed and anticipated by the federal government.
And it wasn't an invasion. It's not as if the Japanese tried to seize those islands and take it. I mean, one little island in Hawaii, one little island with a population of maybe a couple hundred, where a Japanese pilot had crashed. I guess, you know, he held people at gunpoint for a little while or something. I don't know. It was something like that. But they weren't trying to seize the islands,
No.
At least not at that point.
And then some people would mention Alaska.
But nobody ever tried to. Oh, well, I guess the Japanese occupy one or two of the Aleutian Islands. That might have happened.
Technically, and that's what someone who would, I'm not arguing that point. Someone who would argue that point would bring that up. But yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they would have gotten far. They wouldn't have made it through Alaska. I'll tell you that. That's a rough state. But anyway, we went very far afield, but it was a good discussion on the matter.
These are things that people need to think about, because these developments can happen really, really fast. And I'm not proposing any of this stuff, because my position is that really we need to get control of our country first before taking it apart. But that might not happen.
Well,
that might not be a choice that we can make.
Taking control of our country failed. We tried that with Trump four and a half years ago, and that failed. So, you know, that leaves us where we're at right now.
Yeah. I mean, the idea of trying to set up a tiny little ethno state in the Pacific Northwest or something, I think is suicide. But when you've got state legislators in Texas who are openly talking about seceding from the Republic, and there's some talk like that in Missouri as well, and so these are things these are events that might overtake us. Who knows?
A couple of states talking about it, not a big deal. 18 states talking about it. Now we've got something.
But a couple of states breaks the ice. And then when you've got the fake Biden administration and Fauci and the CDC literally saying, if you want to ride a bus, you need to wear not just a mask, but you need to wear two masks.
Double ply. Yes.
I mean, it's just getting so absurd. And so there's going to be a lot of incentive for other states to follow suit.
Well, you know, we mentioned the Biden administration and Israel in the mix. if you want to pivot to a new topic, I'm kind of curious.
Let's do it.
I'm curious as to what the mainstream take on Biden and Benjamin Netanyahu's relationship is. CNN Politics.
So yeah, the CNN Politics article, which on the one hand it noted that that Netanyahu never had it so good as with Trump, right? But then, of course, we know that as soon as the fake election was called, Netanyahu was one of the very first foreign leaders to congratulate fake President Biden.
Exactly. So according to CNN here, U.S. President Joe Biden, and my comments are fake President Joe Biden and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu have been friends, allies, and partners in a relationship that has spanned nearly four decades. When they first met, Biden was a junior senator in his early 40s, and Netanyahu was a fledgling diplomat, nearly a decade younger. Now, with their first phone call expected imminently, the two must decide how their relationship will evolve at the height of their careers and the peak of their powers. But the last 4 years will complicate the next four, with Biden's desire to eventually re-enter the Iranian nuclear deal and his choice of former top-level Obama officials who crafted and advocated for it. Likely an early flashpoint. But, Patrick, didn't Biden just elect a whole bunch of Jews into his cabinet?
He did. It's a whole bunch of Jews. But, you know, the State Department, the people who are number one, two, and three at the State Department during the Obama administration had been number two, number three, and effectively number four. So it's a really, really similar lineup. And Wendy Sherman, who's now the number two at the State Department, had been the lead negotiator of this Iran nuclear deal. But Tony Blinken, who was number two back then, but is number one now, he's the Secretary of State, doesn't seem as wed to it as you would think, because he's making a lot of conditions on Iran to for the United States to come back to it. Because we're not in it anymore. So,
and what I'm seeing, and you correct me if I'm wrong, is this age-old battle between left-wing and right-wing Jews. Now, those are my terms. You can call them something different. Basically, Jewish power that wants what's best for the Jews. However, there's two factions that go about it differently. Netanyahu represents the faction that supported Trump, who was against the Iranian deal, who wanted to control immigration and keep America in good, you know, in a good position for Jews to siphon off of. And then Biden would represent the other side of that, where, you know, Jews want to maintain good diplomatic relations with Iran and not go all out. But yet the same Jewish power elites want to flood the United States and completely destroy the hosts that they've fed on, you know, so vigorously over the last seven decades. So I'm seeing this push in Jewish power here between Biden's staff and now Biden's relationship with Netanyahu. I don't know. What do you got on that?
Well, so you could look at, you know, right wing, left wing, however you want to say it. You could look at the well, the Likud government, represented by Netanyahu, is very Israel-centric in its view of what's good for the Jews. And, you know, very, like, their number one objective seems to be destroying Iran as a possible counterbalance to Israel. Whereas in the United States, the, you know, so Israel's got like, what, 6 million Jews, and we've got our 6 million Jews. Oh God, 6 million always. And our 6 million Jews, they're rather than destroying Iran as a counterbalance to Israeli power, they're more focused on destroying white people as a counterbalance to Jewish power. And so Netanyahu was fine with cooperating with wall builder Trump, because he, well, I mean, he never got his war in Iran, but he did get certain things. Whereas, you know, the Blinken crew, they are, I don't know, they were more interested. They didn't want to go overboard on Iran at least not in 2015. But here we are these years later. Has their calculation changed? Has their calculus changed? And maybe it has changed. I don't know. We'll have to see. But, you know, American Jews and Israeli Jews don't have identical interests, but they are tied together by an interest in not wanting to have Jewish power exposed, that, you know, not have anti-Semitism. But we're up on the break. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What the f*** is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
We are back. So, Israeli power, American diaspora power. What do you make of it?
Well, we're seeing another realignment. And let me just go over the realignments that we've witnessed so far. In the early 21st century, we saw a realignment of Jewish power with people like Stephen Steinlight. We're historically, Jews always pushed for immigration. The more immigration, the better, you know, of course, to diminish the white European founding stock of America. But Steinlatt saw a time when we let these third worlders in who are predominantly Muslim and not sympathetic to the Jews, and he saw that as a problem. And he wanted to limit immigration down to a trickle. Also to be able to brainwash new immigrants who do come into the U.S. to give them time to Americanize them into being very Zionist. So that was a shift in Jewish power in the early 21st century. Fox News was right on board with this. Mm-hmm. Fox News was right along with the Steinlatt plan, and I would say right along with, you know, Trump's platform and Stephen Miller, for what that's worth. Not saying that Trump was controlled, but that just these Jews aligned with Trump because he happened to be pushing an agenda that they agreed with. Then you've seen another realignment when Trump took office. All the neocon Jews went over to the left and voted for Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
And then that forced some Jews like, you know, Kushner to side with Trump, because if he sides with Trump, he can be closer to Trump. You got Netanyahu siding with Trump. So you get this whole other realignment now of the neocons. And they're showing their true colors. Now with Biden in office, are we seeing a new realignment as what you're describing then as Blankenship? In the past, now Blankenship is like, no, I'm not good with the Iranian deal. Even though Biden is supposed to be good with reestablishing the Iranian deal, you know, Blankenship is not, right?
Blanken.
So is there another realignment happening before our very eyes with the dynamics of the Biden-Harris administration, and what's that going to look like and what's that going to lead to?
And so I would ask, why wouldn't there be a realignment? Because Trump was such a phenomenon. And as president, he really, really altered the political landscape, even though he was ineffective. But he very much altered it. And, you know, he was always clamoring to withdraw troops from around the world, from the Middle East. And even though he wasn't able to accomplish very much, there was always that potential. Well, now he's for the time being, at least, he is not really not a factor in international politics. He's not a factor in Middle East politics. So why wouldn't there be a realignment? And, you know, Netanyahu, he had a personal dislike for Obama, but he doesn't have a personal dislike for Biden. And Biden and Obama probably had some reluctance to shill too hard for the Israelis. He never took Hillary's advice on wars with Syria, for instance. Who knows? But we'll have to explore that next week, because our time is up. But thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you, Patrick. Stay classy, my friend. And you too, RBN, as I know you will.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
You love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on 24/7 with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.